Welcome to episode 31 of Published. Today, I'll speak with Greenleaf editor April Jo Murphy about the components of nonfiction books and why it's important for authors to understand them.
Welcome to Published, a podcast by Greenleaf Book Group, where we'll discuss the ins and outs of the publishing industry, from writing a book and finding the right publisher to gearing up for a book launch. And now, here's your host, Greenleaf Book Group CEO, Tanya Hall.
Welcome back to Published. In today's episode, we're examining one of our specialties at Greenleaf Book Group, the nonfiction book. The term nonfiction covers a wide array of what we call subgenres or categories, but almost all of them share similar components like forewords, prefaces, appendices, indexes, and even ancillary materials like reader's guides or author Q&As. So most authors will be familiar with these elements of nonfiction from the books they enjoy reading themselves, but it can be a challenge to work them into your own book if you don't quite understand the function that each of those elements serves. That is why we've brought in April Jo Murphy, a second-time published guest and editor extraordinaire at Greenleaf Book Group, to walk us through the common components of nonfiction books and give authors some advice for writing them. Let's get into the interview. All right, April Jo, is there a typical structure that nonfiction books follow? I know you've developed a lot of these at Greenleaf Book Group and otherwise. And if so, could you describe that for us?
Yeah, typically every nonfiction book has what we would call the main text in the center of the book, but it is typically preceded by what is called front matter and followed in the back by back matter. So a lot of what we're going to be talking about today exists in this front matter section, and that's where you'll find things like advance praise, your copyright page, if you have a dedication or a representative quote that you want to introduce the main text with. All of that sort of lives in the front of the book, in the front matter. And then things like your index, glossary, if you have citations like endnotes or a bibliography, that will all appear in the back of the book.
Okay. And again, I know you've spent so much time developing books for many different authors at Greenleaf, and I know that process is different than it would be for a fiction work. So why is it important to approach the structure of a nonfiction book differently than you would, say, a novel?
A lot of this comes back to thinking about the reader of each particular genre. A fiction reader is more interested in a story. They're sort of signing off for a bit and entering usually into a protagonist point of view and following some large grand adventure. And that for a writer is a very creatively focused progression. So you're going to be following the character. And it's more about the character than it is about the reader. Where in a nonfiction book, you're really trying to think about what your reader is going to take away from the book. So things like foreshadowing or to some extent, even character development, these things can be very sneaky in fiction. But nonfiction is very plain, very straightforward. I shouldn't say plain. I should say earnest. So if your reader has a question, in fiction, you might delay the answer to build suspense. But in nonfiction, if your reader has a question, you need to answer it. Otherwise, they're not going to be able to keep following you in sort of the informational journey that you're taking them on. So that is the really big difference between fiction and nonfiction. Nonfiction tends to be way, way, way more reader-focused, whereas fiction tends to be character-focused or writer-focused.
Yeah, I mean, you're focused on giving a solution in nonfiction versus taking someone along for a ride, I suppose.
Yeah.
Okay, so getting down to sort of the macro level here, we talked, you mentioned front matter and back matter, which always makes me think of space, I think, because I think of dark matter. But regardless, so can you take us through, let's start with front matter. There's a lot of confusion sometimes as we get into the nitty gritty of writing the book about what these different things are, even though we see them all the time as we read ourselves. So for our listeners' sake, can you help us understand the difference between a foreword, a preface, and an introduction?
Yes. A foreword, which first and foremost is not a forward, as in like a direction. You're not going towards something, even though you are going toward the content of the book. You are sort of think about this as a forewarning almost. only not as a harbinger of doom, more like a, hey, something cool is coming.
A before words.
Yes, a before words. So forward with an E in the middle there is not written by the author of the book at all. And that's its primary difference from a preface and an introduction. It's kind of like a ultimate book recommendation in the same way that you'll have blurbs on the back of your book or endorsements, and you'll have advanced praise that precedes the content of your book in the front matter. Forward is you bringing in somebody who values your expertise and can speak to the value that you bring and hopefully capitalize a little bit on the value that they might bring to your book as well.
If I can add to that, sometimes you'll see authors strategically secure a foreword from someone. Let's mm-hmm. say they're writing something in the health space, but they don't have medical credentials. Often they'll bring in somebody who has the degree and the, you know, series of strings of letters after their name mm-hmm. to bring that credibility in case there's any doubt in the reader's mind about whether this person's qualified to give that type of advice.
Yeah, and that's an excellent point. And then following the foreword is the preface. So the foreword written by somebody else, the preface is written by the author of the book. And it usually details the more personal side of the genesis of the book. It's very short. It shouldn't be more than 2 or 3 pages max. And it speaks directly to the reader about the creation or importance of the book. So this might be, I was working on a case last year at my organization and realized this idea that I needed to share because it comes up a lot. That precedes what would be the actual idea, which is going to be in the introduction, possibly in the main text of the book. So the preface, you can think about it as being personal. And then the introduction that follows that, it's really more like almost, I don't want to call it like an instruction manual for the book because it's very, it should be connected to the main content of the book. But let's say, for example, you have some key terms or a perspective that you need to get the reader into before you take them into the lessons and the information that you're going to provide them with later. The introduction is a place to talk about those large concepts. They're going to apply to every single chapter that follows, as opposed to maybe being introduced in chapter one. So an introduction really tells your readers like what they're going to encounter. Sometimes it might even include a description of the book, as in like, this book that you're about to read is comprised of 3 parts and here's how they all work together, so that you understand how it, before you get in there and you're like, oh, there's another part 6 chapters in. You have a little bit of an introduction to how that's gonna function and what your journey is gonna be like.
Yeah, and that's exactly how mine is set up. My book, Ideas, Influence, and Income, which you should all go buy, definitely has in the introduction, that is the point of the introduction mm-hmm. for my book's sake, is to say this is what these 3 segments are for and who they serve. And in that case, it might be more appropriate for the reader to jump to one or the other. Mm-hmm. So it kind of sets an expectation for them.
Yeah, in the same sense that like if you were going to read, I can't think of his name. He's in Series of Unfortunate Events on Netflix, Neil Patrick Harris. He has a memoir that came out a few years ago that is actually a choose-your-own-adventure. And that's a very unusual approach to a memoir. So, of course, it would need an introduction to explain that sort of unusual structure so people yeah. aren't like, what? And that's really, like, to harken back to what you were saying, where in your book you introduced the 3 parts and how they work together. If you have anything that's sort of structurally unusual about your book, the introduction should cover that. If you're going to be incorporating other voices, but there's a single author on the outside of the book, this is, again, another great opportunity to explain anything that might need a little bit of mm-hmm. explanation.
Yeah, and even who the book is for, because my introduction mm-hmm. does that as well, to set the stage, in my case, that it's primarily for a nonfiction writer, but there are parts of it that would serve a fiction author as well, and then I direct them to that content in the introduction. Mm-hmm. Okay, so that makes sense. Now, another thing that shows up in the front matter quite often, acknowledgments. I laugh because this is one of the strongest Google keywords on Greenleaf's website is how to write an acknowledgement page. And for years, we tried to figure out why people kept coming to our site to figure that out. And we realized it's college students writing acknowledgements for a thesis. But regardless, acknowledgements, people want to know. Inquiring minds want to know, April, what is an acknowledgements page? And what is it used for in a nonfiction book?
An acknowledgements page is where you should thank anybody, or you have the opportunity to thank anybody who has helped with the creation of your book. And that parameter there in the creation of your book is what the advice that I would give for structuring an acknowledgements page. So acknowledgements will typically include if you've had any work on the production of the book, it might be a shout out to your publishing team. If you've had people who've helped you get sources or people that you've interviewed for case studies, this is a nice way to not only have that content from them from your main text, but sort of be like, hey, no, it was a really nice thing. I appreciate the time that you took. And I'm just going to say it again here. Often people will also give a shout out to their friends and family because, as you know, writing can sometimes be difficult not only on the writer, but people who have to facilitate the writing.
For sure. Mm-hmm. And as I'm thinking about it, I've seen acknowledgments in the front matter, and I've also seen them in the back matter. Is mm-hmm. one more customary, or is it just sort of a personal preference?
I would think about the front matter and the back matter first and foremost if for the placement of the acknowledgments. And sometimes if you have like an author's note, that can go in the front or the back, as what's necessary, number one, for reader comprehension. So if this is purely an autobiographical thank you, then I would push it towards the back of the book. Unless, of course, there's already a lot of stuff in the back of the book. Maybe you have 50 pages of endnotes, which means you probably should have done a different citation method. But if you've got a lot of stuff in the back, then it might behoove you to move it to the front. That's to sort of balance out just your book itself. And that's really, if you have a question of comprehension and something inside of the acknowledgments, maybe if you have taken some research from maybe the organization that you work for, and you want to thank them up front, I would put the acknowledgments in the front. If it's not that way, I would put it in the back.
Yeah. Okay. Mm-hmm. Good. And process-wise, writing a book for anyone who's considering doing it or has done it is definitely quite an undertaking. People can get tripped up sometimes on trying to really get clear on mm-hmm. what they're supposed to do when and what is the order of things, the sequence of events to do this right. So in terms of the front matter, these extra pieces we're talking about, mm-hmm. would you recommend that they write the fundamental book first and then circle back to this stuff, or write this stuff first and do the book? Or is there a logical place to attack the front matter?
I think the introduction can be drafted at the same time as the main text, because often when people start drafting their manuscripts, they end up including an introduction in their first chapter anyway. And it's only upon revision that they realize that could probably be better sort of separated out and strengthened. But everything else, I really don't think you need to spend a lot of time on until you've polished the book itself. Especially something like a foreword, you might secure your person who's going to give you a foreword in advance, but you can't really have something for them to comment upon until that you have a pretty solid draft to send them. And the same is true of the preface and the acknowledgments. There's a lot of people that you don't know who are going to be involved in your journey yet, and you don't want to leave anybody out.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And there inevitably will be people you leave out, because by the time the book goes to press, you've only met half of them.
It's true.
Okay. Well, I think that clears up front matter and back matter. Of course, we also might have something like an index mm-hmm. in the back.
Yes.
Of course, we have to do that after the book is written. Is there anything else that shows up in back matter?
Sometimes it can be helpful if you have a more instructional nonfiction book to have a glossary. Mm-hmm. If you have a lot of technical terms that you don't want to take time out in each individual chapter to define. And you can also have things like, if you don't have citations, but you have a lot of sort of asides, you can have chapter notes at the end of the book as well. So those are the sorts of things that would live in the back.
Yeah, and resources. Mm-hmm. I have that in my book as well. Just sometimes there are little tools or websites or even people that mm-hmm. the reader might find helpful for certain things that you're describing in the book, and you can throw those into a resources page or just have a page at the back of the book that directs them to a website mm-hmm. where you can more dynamically update your resources.
Yeah, and if you're in a novel, they might have back matter questions for reading groups. Mm-hmm. Nonfiction books might have Q&As or self-assessments. Those are sorts of things that, of course, you would need to have read the main text to utilize. So that's why they wind up in the back matter.
Yeah. Okay. Well, you have worked with, again, so many nonfiction authors and helped them birth the baby that is their book. So do you have any advice for nonfiction authors who may be listening today or just getting started on their manuscript?
I think the greatest piece of advice that anybody who is writing can have is to really think about your audience. And because nonfiction really does privilege the reader, to think about very specifically who your audience is. And with a lot of the nonfiction that we work on that's heavily, you know, placed in bisexual genres of like entrepreneurship and leadership, there's a very big difference between a book that's targeted towards managers and one that's targeted to people who are in C-suite level positions. And while that the main ideas that you have in your book will apply to both of them, the way that you explain those concepts, ergo a lot of the content that you're going to be drafting, is going to be significantly shaped. And in thinking about who your reader is, you can also uncover content that you didn't realize you needed to have. And I think that's very, very vital to have as you're drafting.
Yeah, definitely. A good mm-hmm. practice when launching anything, know your customer. Mm-hmm. In this case, it's a reader.
Yeah.
Awesome. Well, April Jo, thanks so much for joining us today. It was a great learning experience about the world of front and back matter.
Yeah, always here to talk books.
Thank you. That's it for our episode today. We hope you learned more about the components that define a nonfiction book and are now ready to write your own. For notes and resources from today's show, go to greenleafbookgroup.com/episode31. You can also find advice for writing, publishing, and promoting your work in my book, Ideas, Influence, and Income, which you can learn more about at ideasinfluenceandincome.com. If you've enjoyed our show, please rate and review us on iTunes. It means a lot to have your feedback and will certainly help us make sure we're answering your publishing questions. A big thank you to Claire Yinch, who produces the Published podcast and basically always has. We'll be back next month with another new episode.
Thanks for listening to Published. To learn more, please visit greenleafbookgroup.com. And remember to subscribe to this podcast on iTunes.